Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, and we're going to be giving you our opinion and commentaries on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, April 4th, 2013. Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs will be joining us in the first segment of the program today. But first, we will be going over the markets. And after that, we're going to be talking about some of the things that we didn't get to yesterday with an update of some of the items that are happening in today's world. It's a crazy, crazy world, and things are certainly ramping up around the world. But first, let's get to gold. Gold prices today. Doing better than earlier today, down $4.20 at $15.54. Silver was down nine pennies today at $26.99. Platinum was down $10 at $15.27. And the thumper today was palladium, down almost 3.5%, down $25. Whew, at $731. The USDX today trading down, it was up most of the day. It was up over 83 most of the day, but it reversed down 0.08 at 82.68. And they hit crude oil again today, down up over a dollar at 93.29. Doesn't really make a lot of sense unless the world is slowing down, but the wars are ramping up, so you would think that it would kind of offset each other. But you still had the Dow gain 56 points today at 14,606. The NASDAQ was up 6 at 32.24. S&P up 6 at 15.59. The yield, wow, on the 10-year, 1.76. So nice little dip in the yield. And the euro is up over 129. So you saw a little bit of strength in the euro. And, we'll be talking about this later in the program or maybe tomorrow about, hey, if you do not like the way we report inflation, let's change it. Let's change it, just like they do all the time. So John Williams at shadowstats.com, you know, his numbers will become even more important in the future as he uses the way items are supposed to be reported. You don't change them just to make a match your numbers. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody. Hello, Wendy. Wendy here.
Hey, Al, how you doing? How Melody, how you doing?
Just fine, thanks. We want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. And
Wendy Wilson from ApothecaryHerbs.com. Isn't that right, or is it Apothecary? Tell us.
It's ApothecaryHerbs.com. You got it.
Okay, so you confused me because you got ApothecaryHerbs.com as your website.
Yes.
But you call, what? You have a different name for your business.
Well, no, it's
hard
just...
for older people like myself to remember these things. I get one thing I can remember, two probably not. I don't know.
Well, the domain web address is thepowerherbs.com, and we adopted that from the title of my book, The Power Herbs, because early on, Al, in the business, we discovered people have trouble spelling apothecaryherbs.com. So we still have that domain, and you can get to the website that way, but it's just much easier for people to remember and spell The Power Herbs and get to the website. Our website at Apothecary Herbs. So,
all right, that makes sense. That makes sense. You should have shared that information with Melody back a couple of years ago. She was using.
I think we did.
What's that?
Did you? Oh, I was saying.
Using what?
You were using Discount Gold and Silver Trading Incorporated trust.us.com.
No, it wasn't, Al.
That was something.
That was long. That's a long domain.
It wasn't that. It was discountgoldandsilvertrading.com. It didn't have anything to do with the spelling.
Now we're moved into the 21st century with the DGScoins.com, right?
Yes.
All right. Good. So what is new and important in the world of apothecary herbs right now, Wendy?
Well, I think it's really interesting if you're looking at world news, health of world news. Obama asked Congress to spend $100 million, our tax dollars, so that our scientists that he has selected can map the human brain. That's right. He wants it down to the nanoscience. He does. He wants to require the development of new technology so they can record the electrical activity of individual cells in complex neural circuits in our brain. The speed of thought. They want to capture the speed of thought. And, of course, they all want to do it under the auspices of helping, brain injury, stroke victims, Alzheimer patients. But who knows what else this could morph into because he says...
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, he says
they're
he wants
here to help you, but they're also here to help the CIA and the NSA and whatever.
Right. Well, the National Institute of Health, he wants them to work on it along with Defense Advanced Research Project Agency and National Science Foundation. So $100 million, that's just a sneeze, a drop in the bucket as far as the federal government is concerned. They spend much more given NASA funds to study the sun.
Well, I understand it's not a lot of money as money goes in the government, but
right.
It's one of those things. Out of little bureaucracies, giant bureaucracies grow.
Right.
You know, and once you start this thing, tell me how much it's going to cost 5 years from now.
Exactly.
You might start with $100 million a year. What'll it be 5 years from now?
Well, who needs a neurosurgeon when we could probably map the brain and the computer can just tell you what's wrong with you?
Well, but, it'll tell what's wrong with you, and it may even tell whether or not you need to be locked up. By the time it's done, say, "Oh, you have a predisposition to be a dissident, or perhaps deal with an unrecognized a form of medicine that's not officially recognized, and therefore, based on our little scan here, we're going to send you off to camp for a tune-up." In any case, it does not bode well, and maybe it's good, and maybe it's bad, but how do you trust the government?
We've reached
a point where I couldn't trust them. If they told me that the sky was blue and the earth was round, I still wouldn't trust them. I've got an article here. We've talked a little about this in the past, but here's an article coming from Russia Today, actually. Superbug scenario, antibiotic resistance will be catastrophe on par with terrorism. That's the headline. Might be a little hyperbolic. You can tell us that in a moment. But it says antibiotic resistant superbugs will push medical science back to the 19th century with people dying of minor infections, says Britain's top health official. Dame Sally Davis, chief medical officer for England, said action is urgently needed to fight antibiotic and antimicrobial resistance, and that new drugs must be developed to treat new mutating infections. What about that? True story?
Yeah, we've been
hyperbolic, too exaggerated, and if it's not exaggerated, what do you got for it?
Well, we've been doing some articles in the newsletters you write and Melanie write for, as well as myself, and thepowerherbs.com. People can sign up for that. They're free. We're running a series, actually. I started it a few issues back on just this thing because people are concerned about it. It's freaking medical science out because a lot of the pharmaceutical companies have kind of abandoned researching and making stronger antibiotics because they kept just ahead of the antibiotic resistant superbugs in the 90s that then pharmaceutical companies they shifted their focus to things that were more lucrative, like vaccines and antiviral medicines. So medicine really has run out of the last category of antibiotics to treat a lot of this. So we've been running some things on that, viral and bacterial, especially what's the difference and how does your body react to them and what you can do to actually elevate your own immune system 1,000-fold to combat those types of infections. There's lots of research out there, Al and Melanie. Doctors have conducted it where some basic nutrients in mega doses can help your immune system defeat meningitis, polio, and a whole slew of things. So there's a way to do that. So that's what we've been doing. We've been trying to educate people that there's more than one way to skin a cat. And pharmaceutical products, the antibiotics, actually suppress your immune system. And so many people now have been overusing those types of drugs that just six doses of an antibiotic, especially if you get it intramuscularly, like in a penicillin shot. Just six of those actually cripples your immune system. So you have
six in what period of time?
Just six in, I would say, a year. So if you've got, a problem with, I don't know, maybe you have, a STD or you have, chronic bronchitis and stuff like that, and you've been going for some of these shots or some of the really strong antibiotic pills, if you've been on those types of therapies, then you've got some immune system building to do. So the immune system learns. It actually can assess its experiences with pathogens and actually make antibodies that it thinks it will defeat, even if it's an unknown foreign pathogen it hasn't encountered before. So your immune system, very sophisticated, it thinks, it assesses, it manufactures antibodies to defeat those types of things. And I say rebuild the immune system, and you can defeat a lot of those problems.
When the immune system is adversely affected by vaccines,
mm-hmm.
How long does it, you're suggesting for one thing, let's take a child, we're going to give the child a vaccine for one disease or another. All right, maybe that vaccine reduces the child's exposure to the particular disease that's targeted. But you at least imply, you haven't said this, but you imply that by taking the vaccine to prevent exposure to, or protect against exposure to one disease, you might be increasing exposure to a host of other diseases because you're reducing your immune system. Is that true, or am I misunderstanding?
Well, that is true. Plus, you're not really developing any resistance to the disease you're being inoculated with. Okay? That's why, a lot of doctors have said that, booster shots are necessary. Why would booster shots be necessary if your immune system actually gets the lesson the first time you got the vaccine? Actually, Dr. William Lee, he is the author of this really good book. It's called The Killer Plagues to Come, How You Can Be Invulnerable to Them. Excellent book. It gives you lots of options to boost immune system. But he says this, whenever your immune system deals successfully with an infection, that doesn't mean an artificial infection like through a vaccine. So when your immune system deals successfully with an infection, it emerges from that experience stronger, better able to confront similar threats in the future. So an artificial infection, which is a delivery of a pathogen that doesn't go through the normal checkpoints that your immune system would encounter a pathogen. In other words, if you breathed it in, ingested it, absorbed it somehow, there's some checkpoints that alert your immune system along the way. When you inject it directly into the bloodstream, by the time it's in the bloodstream, the immune system should have been able to code an antibody to remember it. So if it kind of just encounters it suddenly, the immune system thinks that's supposed to be there and doesn't develop an antibody to it. So what we've been told about vaccines in theory is incorrect.
Gee, that's so surprising. Told by who?
Well, modern medicine. Oh, and Dr. Lee and some others I've been kind of doing a series of articles on these guys who have, documented this, that, the immune system, doesn't work like science says it works when it's encountered by a vaccine. It's just not going to be beneficial. It's not going to give you protection. So that's why booster shots are usually required, because your body doesn't develop the antibody for it.
I'm going to guess that one of your fundamental recommendations would be that people need to be constantly maintaining their immune system on a preventive basis, rather than wait until the stuff hits the fan and then all of a sudden try to make some sort of a correction, improvement, whatever. But
right.
I'm sure you're more in favor of preventive medicine or preventive.
Right. Now's the time.
Than you are in reacting.
Yeah, now's the time definitely to kind of boost that immune system, and you can do that. There's herbs that you would that really do. They're packed full of minerals and vitamins that assist the immune system to develop what we call antibodies, macrophages, white killer T cells, antioxidants, to help the body, purge the toxins. So this is nutrition that helps the body do what it's supposed to, and it doesn't hinder it. I'm going to be doing an article on the viral invaders, because I just did some on the bacterial ones. Viral invaders are a bit smaller, harder to see. Bacteria is a little bit larger, but still they're micro size. The difference between them, how they work in the system. Science doesn't consider viruses live pathogens, where bacteria is. And the difference is viruses can't replicate without invading your cell, where it has a metabolism function to help the virus replicate. Whereas bacteria can replicate all on its own. So viruses need a little help from the body, the host, whereas bacteria can spread and multiply and double its size in just 20 minutes.
If you had to choose between providing more minerals or providing more vitamins to boost someone's immune system, is there one or the other that's favored?
Well, definitely.
In other words,
if I had to pick, if you want to focus on something, focus on your foods and your herbs that are high in your vitamin C and your zinc, because they help the immune system not only make the antibodies, but also antioxidants. So it protects you from free radicals and other dangerous types of cells that can really disrupt your cellular function on the cellular level. So if I had to pick, I would do vitamin C and zinc, and a lot of foods and herbs have those, and a lot of your immune boosting herbs have those.
All right, we're down to our last few seconds here, Wendy. Why don't you give them contact information, and folks that are looking to boost their immune system, give Wendy Wilson a call at?
Oh, they can call us toll free at 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. That'll get you to Apothecary Herbs, or you can visit the website thepowerherbs.com. And I thank you, Al.
Thepowerherbs.com. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Talk to you again
next
Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. It's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. She'll be back next Thursday. We will be back in about 3 minutes as soon as we get done with these commercial announcements. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody is going to tell you about a special that you need to listen to. Melody, what's the special for today?
Well, excuse me.
See, if
I got all
taking,
excited.
If you're taking some of Wendy's herbs, you wouldn't have that cough.
No, I got all excited. I inhaled wrong. Anyway, at least I'm inhaling. That's a good thing. And exhaling.
Yeah, you got to do both.
It makes it a good day when you're doing that.
Yeah.
A great day. We have a great, with prices down as much as they have, almost $50 from the beginning of the week. And it was nice to see gold close above for the 1550 level. Everybody was expecting that level. So maybe we're building a bottom. I still think a lot is going to play on the numbers that are being released tomorrow. And I don't think they're going to be that good on the employment numbers, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens and where the markets end up at the end of the day tomorrow. But we will be here to talk about them. And so you've had a great correction. You can buy 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins. You can buy 1 ounce Canadian maple leaves at bullion prices. They're going to range anywhere from $1,620 for Canadian maple leaves to $1,640 on 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins. Or you can pick up some Mint State 62 $20 Liberty gold pieces And we're looking at about $120 difference over the 1 ounce gold Eagle coin. They provide performance, privacy, protection. These are great coins to be picking up at this level. You have greater upside potential. I believe they're better than bullion when you get the privacy in there, you get the protection in there, the protection against confiscation, you get the privacy, and also the performance. The performance, and I'll tell all my clients, the best markets that these coins perform is a fear-driven market. As we saw in 2008, 9, and 10, you had a fear-driven market there, and you had $20 gold pieces across the realm from 61s all the way up to 64s and 65s. Some of the coins had a $300 to $400 move on an $80 move in gold. So when you can buy them this low and you're paying $120 difference, it's an incredible buy. All that premium is out of the coins, and basically the only thing that you have to lose now is the change in spot, this change in melt value. Your upside potential is much greater. So they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I want to make sure the listeners know about our website that Al made fun of earlier, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Get to the website, sign up for our weekly newsletter. We've combined forces with Wendy Wilson, and you'll receive, and other writers, health info and also financial info. So sign up for our newsletter at the website, and you can download our programs and listen live, and our archives are posted at the website. So we're also working on revamping our website. We're working on that right now. We might extend some sort of online buying just to several coins, but we've decided to make it a little bit easier even for you folks to listen to the radio program and sign up for the newsletter. So stay tuned for a whole new look at dgscoins.com.
I just wanted, for the sake of accuracy now, what? I just want to correct you. I did not make fun of DGScoins.com. I made fun of Discount Gold and Silver Trading Incorporated.
It didn't have incorporated.
It went on and on.
You're
forever.
Making it. It
went
did
on. I almost
not.
Wore out my computer trying to type in the URL for your that you used to use. I mean, my gosh, the wear and tear on the poor little keys typing in that. That's what I was making fun of.
Well, I guess I'm just a very good typist. I never had a problem. So anyway.
All right. So what's next?
Well, we want to talk about a little bit about North Korea. I mean, things over there seem to be ramping up. And they're moving all kinds of troops and warplanes to the Philippines. They did have a North Korea expert on CNBC this morning, and he was really quite interested. And he said the thing that concerns him the most was the communications that were coming out of North Korea. He says there was always a lot of communications. You kind of knew what was going on. And he says they did cease. So if there was any one thing that concerned him about North Korea, was that one particular item. He says there's a lot of rhetoric with a lot of things, and a lot of there's things that the U.S. is doing that they were going to do anyway in 2015. He says so this has actually given them an excuse to move their deadlines closer. They were moving some troops, I believe, or some sort of a missile shield over to Guam. He says they actually moved that up, but they were going to do it anyway. But his biggest concern was the communications that used to come out of North Korea. They have stopped. So,
well, that's interesting, because the implication is, as long as they're talking, they're not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
When they stop talking, that's when they might be dangerous. That's the implication. Whether it turns out that way or not remains to be seen. If I were in Obama's position, all right, just theoretically, if I were there in the White House and it was my call, about the second time these idiots said they were going to nuke the United States, you would need a highly trained cadre of archaeologists to find evidence that North Korea ever existed. It would become like Atlantis. There'd be rumors that once upon a time there was a country called North Korea. I mean, I'd put it to them big time, and nothing's happened up until now. Doesn't mean nothing will happen, but nothing has happened up until now. I suppose the government's trying to be reasonable, but I also think that the government doesn't want to get caught up in a problem with Korea right now. If they are serious about having some sort of a conflict, if they plan to have a conflict with Iran, maybe Syria, they got other fish to fry. They don't have to, oh my gosh, don't drag us off. We'll fight with you guys later. Ask the premier of North Korea, could you please shut up for a year or so we can go whack Iran, and then we'll get to you. You think that makes any difference to these people, or they're planning right now, Melody? Or
no, you have so many players, and there's just so much rhetoric, and you just don't even know. One of my clients said to me the other day they could actually be using North Korea. Maybe the government wants it to be ramped up. Maybe they want something to happen because it takes away the focus off the finances. And perhaps this could be their event, something from left field where no one expected.
Another circus.
Mm-hmm.
Another circus to distract the public from
exactly.
What's really happening. That's potentially true, but I have my doubts about that. I mean, this is just insanity. Korea is threatening to nuke the United States. Are they nuts? Do they have a death wish?
That's what I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's insane. Good God. I mean, you know they wouldn't survive. I don't know what to make of it. We live in strange times, that's for sure. Anything else, Melody, you want to say on North Korea or move on?
We actually got a comment on your South Korea would become an island.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'd have that thing. I would knock the... You wouldn't be able to find traces. If it was up to me, you wouldn't find traces of North Korea. You'd have the island of South Korea. In future generations, they say, well, if that's South Korea, where's North Korea? Well, it disappeared. You see, they mouthed off a little too much. I'm not in favor of war and the rest of that. I'm not actually in favor of going after anybody. To tell you the truth, I'd prefer that none of this happen, but I guarantee you threaten the United States with nuclear weapons and, you know, better watch your back, because if it were up to me, at least, that wouldn't be tolerable.
Well, this kind of changes the whole thing, but Ebert.
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert,
yep,
died today after age 70, after a battle with cancer. And I think anybody who enjoys movies knows Roger Ebert. And I think you knew him.
I know him a little bit, only to the extent that there was a time back in the, this goes back into the 1960s probably, maybe the early 70s, I don't even remember clearly, but I was part owner of a little soup and salad restaurant in Chicago, north side of Chicago, and Roger Ebert used to come in there from time to time. He liked our food and he came in. He never gave us a review, but we weren't making any movies, you understand. But he was our resident celebrity at the time. And, Roger Ebert, ooh, look over there, Roger Ebert. You know, we'd come in, everybody was impressed, and including me and every, you know, the other partners, and blah, blah, blah. But in any case, that was the extent of my you know, my personal knowledge of Roger Ebert. But he's had a problem. I'm not sure. The cancer, did it say whether it was brain cancer or not?
It was thyroid.
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 Hmm. I think he had a problem with some sort of a brain tumor back a few years ago, maybe even 10. I'm not sure how long. Or maybe I'm thinking of his partner.
His partner, I believe, died of cancer also.
Yeah, I know.
So it could have been, but he had,
I think it's the popcorn. You go to the movies and eat that popcorn. They put that sludge on there. They call it butter flavoring or something. I think that's what does it. I'm not sure.
Uh-oh. I was in trouble. Anyway, let's get going. We had a couple of questions that came in yesterday. We never got a chance to. Their question was, how much do you think it's costing to keep gold down? We should actually answer these on Friday, but how much do you think it's costing to keep the price of gold down?
It's hard to say, but part of the consequence of holding the price down irrationally is that they're gold must be made available essentially at fire sale prices to people who have brains enough to buy it, and that would include India and China right now, among other foreign countries. For the government to maintain the price of gold and hold it down and hold it down in order to maintain the illusion that the dollar has some sort of value, in doing that, someone is able to buy that gold. And one of the entities that's best able to buy gold at these cheap prices will be China, because they're sitting on $1 trillion worth of America, $1 trillion United States dollars, and they'd like to get rid of them. Well, this provides a perfect opportunity. Taking these dollars, they are, by reducing the price of gold, they're essentially increasing the value of the dollar. And the Chinese should be saying, oh, goody, let's go buy some gold. The Americans are giving it away. It's evidence of the problem that the government faces right now. They are caught between the rock and the hard place. What are they going to do to try to hold this economy together? In order to maintain the illusion that they're solvent, they have to maintain the illusion that the dollar has greater value than it really does right now, insofar as they put the dollar up, put gold down. Someone is going to have to make good on this. Someone's going to sell real physical gold for cheap prices, and people who are smart will have an opportunity to make a significant profit over the course of the next months or years. So I don't know. What's the real cost? What's the total cost? You know, it's hard to say, but I get the feeling that we, the American people, are losing our gold while the government is trying to maintain the illusion that the dollar is still valuable. We're losing. I don't know how much, and I'm not sure that anyone else knows right now, at least outside of government. We can't even be sure how much gold is being sold. We can't be sure how much gold remains at Fort Knox. There's some suspicion that perhaps the gold is gone already. And whatever's left, who knows? Maybe the Chinese janitors sweeping up and putting it in his pocket every night and just walking out the door with the last vestiges of American gold. Sooner or later, we're going to get an audit of both the Federal Reserve and an audit of Fort Knox, and there's also gold at West Point. And we will find out how much gold is really left in this country, and if it doesn't match the 8,200 tons that is alleged by the Federal Reserve and or the government, I'm wondering what's going to happen. I'm wondering if that won't be enough to instigate trials for treason. On the flip side, recognizing that an audit may be near, people in government may become increasingly desperate. There's no telling what they will do to save their skin in the face of, we're going to have to admit to the American people that we spent all the gold. How are we going to explain that? So I can't answer the question, how much will it cost? But it can't be doing us any good. It might be doing the government some good, but it can't be doing the United States of America, it can't be doing the people of the United States of America any good. Well, what else do we have, Emily?
Well, we're about ready to go to a break here. We got about, another... How many seconds?
Another 60. Oh, you're right. You're right. It's time for our break. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom at Financial Survival. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, and I'm here with my co-host, Melody Cederstrom. Want to talk to Melody? Give her a call after the program, 1-800-375-4188, if you'd like to buy some gold and or silver coins, and you should. All right? Certainly, it's a great time to be buying. I know it's been prices are confusing and disturbing, but fundamentals tell us, look, this is smart, smart, smart. We've talked about this on the program in the past. The fundamental idea behind profiting is you buy low and you sell high. All right? That's it. You get that? You're in good shape. All right? Right now it's low. And everything I am able to understand indicates that it must inevitably go high. Not necessarily next week. I don't know what's going to happen next month. But inevitably, the price is going to go high. And a lot of people sit back and say, gee, I don't know if I want to buy any gold now because, you know, most people don't buy right now. Well, why? What? Of course they're not buying right now because the price is low. If you are going to buy low and sell high, you must buy at the time when you use your head, you look at the fundamentals and you say, you know, this is going to become more valuable. And other people, they don't see that. And they say, I don't know. They want to follow the herd. If you want to succeed, you must not follow the herd. You must buy low. That necessarily means when most people are not interested in the item. Now, you know, there are some products and there's some stocks and bonds and God knows what else that just because they are low priced, it doesn't mean it's a good idea to buy. Not everything that's cheap will one day be more valuable. But gold is one of the things that will. Everything I'm able to understand tells me gold must go up. It must go up. It must go up. People are buying it around the world, and yet the prices are down. All that means is buy low now. Give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. Get some gold. What else we got, Melody?
And also an update on the silver. It's very difficult to get silver. There are delays in shipping on Silver Eagles. We have a lot come in. I think I have everybody pretty much covered except for those that are, you know, late in the day buying. There'll be delays on those. We'll have to wait and see how this plays up. And it's not that there's a lack of silver. It's just that they can't keep up with the orders that have really started coming in since the prices have been lower. So actually starting the first of this week, we've been seeing the problems, and we had it fixed for a little bit of time. We were buying elsewhere, so we didn't have a problem. And now all of a sudden there are delays, and they're still locking in prices. So it just depends on the Silver Eagles, how fast the delivery and the allotments that the Treasury continues to deliver on. So 90% is pretty much zilch, and if we can get it, I mean, I certainly, there's people out there selling it for $4 over spot. Why would anybody, but you don't pay those premiums on 90% silver. Even if you get the pitch, oh man, we've got it, so yeah, you can pay $4, you don't buy it. You wait for those premiums to come down. And they will. The better buy would be like Silver Eagles, even though there's a delay on it. You can buy Canadian Maple Leafs. We have Morgan Silver Dollars. So there are silver. There is silver out there for a little bit faster delivery than the Silver Eagles. So, and we don't sell anything we can't deliver. And we don't sell anything when we don't have a time frame. So I don't know what those people who, you know, 6 weeks for their normal delivery, I don't know what their deliveries would be now. 12 weeks? Would they double it? But so, folks, if you're looking for silver, there's a little bit of a delay, but give us a call and we can get you locked in. I just want to make a comment. Bitcoin, we talked about this during the breakout. They had a hacker. They've been hacked, and they tumbled 20% overnight as one of their major exchanges was hacked. And, of course, that led to a sell-off today in that virtual currency. And, you know, we talked about who in the world would do something like that. And, of course, the interest really came in, Al, from the social media, when the people who use Twitter. And you know what? I don't think most of my customers use Twitter, but, you know, it gives you the type of group of people that would get involved in this. Younger people, probably.
Bunch of twits, is that what you're saying,
twits.
Melody? People that are engaged in bitcoins are a bunch of twits. Is that your comment?
No, I'm not going to say that, but I would think they would have to be younger.
Well, I understand. It's one of the things that Bitcoin is, we talked also during the break, it parallels, in my mind, the tulip frenzy they had in Holland back, I think it was in the 1700s, where people were all excited about tulips, and individual tulip bulbs were going for as much as $10,000. You understand? And they had this frenzy, this mania, and all of a sudden it collapsed and everybody lost their butts. But the point is that people have this tendency, if anything appears to be making money, that's all people care about. They don't generally care about the fundamentals. Why didn't someone just say, you know, we're just talking about tulip bulbs here? It's not that big a deal. A tulip bulb is not worth $10,000. It's the bitcoins are like the tulip frenzy. They have had a lot of interest. They're fascinating. They're fun. They're exciting. Profits have been significant. Growth has been significant for the bitcoins and the rest of that sort of thing. But in the end, they are no more real than the tulip bulbs. In the end, I don't care where bitcoins are going, they're also going back down. And the idea, the report that someone was hacked and someone managed to steal $500,000 worth of bitcoins, it's just another illustration of what can happen to you and me if we keep our digital dollars in some bank account. We are likewise vulnerable to having someone hack in. Now, it might be a bad hacker. With identity device, they steal your identity, and then they hack into your account, and they siphon off whatever digits you have on the hard drive. Or it might be the government, in the sense that we saw in Cyprus, where they are essentially legally hacking into people's accounts and taking whatever currency they have for the benefit of the bank and or for the benefit of the government or whoever. But you're better off. Be cautious about digital currencies. Be cautious about storing your wealth in bitcoins. It may be fun and exciting and the rest, but long term, that's a vulnerable media. Where gold, on the other hand, is less vulnerable. Yeah, you got to hide it. You got to protect it. I get that. There's no easy absolute solution to any kind of problem. If you've got wealth, there are people who would like to take it away from you. But if you have it concealed and you can keep your mouth shut, there's a high probability you can hold on to your wealth if it's stored in the form of gold or silver. If you're going to store it in the form of cash, if you're going to keep it in the bank, all the news suggests that you are assuming a considerable amount of risk and you may not get your money back. So, what do you say? You know, if you want Bitcoins, I think they're interesting. I kind of like them. I think they're fun, but they, I also recognize there is they are as foolish in some regards as a lottery ticket. Go buy a lottery ticket. You might make $20 million. Well, yeah, you might. Or you might just give them a couple of dollars for a little piece of paper about the size of your thumb. A ticket. Right? And as I guarantee you, that ticket costs a couple pennies, and you're going to pay for it with a couple dollars. Long-term investment potential, probably not too bright. Same thing with Bitcoins. What do you think, Melody? How many Bitcoins are you thinking about starting to pay the help with Bitcoins? Have you talked to anybody about that?
No Bitcoins. No two okay. bits. No two bits here.
Okay.
Anyway, we were going to talk about, Bitcoins, how about poverty, and how about Americans on disability? We continue to hear that things are getting better. The housing market is improving, although, you know, they don't tell you all the little dirty details about the housing market and that there's people purchasing these homes that, you know, are going to have a problem paying it back. Not quite the same as 2008, because what 2008 really brought down was the adjustable rates. That always will kill a housing market. But they don't talk about the people in poverty and how that is increasing, or the Americans on disability. That hit another record. It hasn't decreased for disability since 1997. It increases every month. Well,
that's fraud, though. All right? We're not talking about people that are actually injured. We're just talking primarily about people who can no longer collect unemployment, so they're claiming disability under Social Security. I think that's what you're talking about. Is that true?
Well, I'm not talking about employment disability. These are people that are, you know, yeah, they're not working, and it's really easy to get disability. You can claim a headache or you can't work, and yeah, you can go into disability. It's not unemployment disability.
I get that, but it's after they've exhausted their unemployment, and what I'm getting to.
Exactly.
Yes, much of this is just flat-out fraud.
Exactly.
They're not disabled. They're just said, I've exhausted my unemployment, so now I'll go on Social Security disability, and I can still kick back. On one level, I certainly don't. I don't blame them. I don't admire them. There's something inherently wrong with running a government where fraud is tolerated and encouraged. Obama has recently. Just in the last week, he's been advising banks to make it easier to lend money to people who would otherwise wouldn't be entitled to it. All right, they would be not likely to pay off their bills, and he's saying, "Go ahead and lend money to them anyway, so they can buy a house." Well, this is what got us. This is what triggered the problem just a couple of years ago: the subprime mortgages. All right, they used to lend money to people who they knew didn't have. The means to repay the money they were borrowing. But they loaned it to them anyway because government set up a system that essentially allowed the banks to encourage this kind of fraud. And all it wound up with was triggering the economic collapse of 2007, 2008, and we're still suffering from that. Now they want to try it again. There is something wrong with a government that encourages the people to defraud the government and defraud the other taxpayers. There's something immoral, unethical, and even if it seems to make economic sense, it's one of those things you look at and say, this can't last, this can't work. You cannot teach people to be con artists and expect to have the nation's economy hold together. Somebody's got to be responsible. Now, will someone stand up and say, I'll be responsible? Congress isn't going to be. President's not going to be. Senate's not going to be. Federal court's not going to be responsible. Who's going to be responsible? Anybody? I think this is, for me, this is another reason why it makes good sense for you, ladies and gentlemen, to be individually responsible. And one of the ways you're responsible is you look, you think, and if you agree that we are headed for difficult times, you're going to sit back and prepare. There's nobody else around who's going to take care of you if this thing really goes south. So it's up to you. Prepare. And one of the ways you prepare, again, gold and silver, guns and ammo, dehydrated food, water, tools, land. There are a bunch of variations on this, but we're going to, if you're looking for gold and silver, if you are going to be responsible for you and you want to prepare, give Melody a call, 1-800-375-4188. What else we got, Melody?
We also have about the nearly 50 million, that's one in six Americans, on food stamps.
Yeah.
And again, it's just another sign of the lack of jobs, the lack of wages that are being paid to where people can't survive. And whether these programs, I mean, I agree with you, but it's just another sign that things are not as rosy in this country as they lead people to believe, certainly not to support a stock market over 14,000.
I agree. You know, one of the implications, you look at this report, nearly 50 million Americans are on food stamps. That's between 1 in 6, 1 in 7. That's evidence that we may already be in a depression. Government says, oh, the recovery is coming, or the recovery is here. I've seen reports say, oh, that we think there's going to be a recovery. We're on the verge of recovery. I don't think so. I think the evidence suggests that we are close to a depression. One of the, I talk about it on the program from time to time, but one of the things that surprised me the first time I read it and understood it was that during the Great Depression, today we look back and say the Great Depression started in 1929. But I've seen reports that as late as 1933, there were arguments. Are we or are we not in a depression? A lot of people didn't think we were in a depression as late as 1933. You could be in a depression right now and not know it. We could all be. And when you look at a report that one in six or seven Americans is on food stamps, that's consistent with the possibility that we are already in a depression, an economic depression, and it may take a few more years before we recognize it, but those who are sensible may be able to see the problem now. They may be able to prepare and take care of themselves where they can get through the problem, and if they do, Melody's got one of the solutions, and that's gold and silver. We are out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Addisk. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.